greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry, doing my part as one of many watchmen on the wall. The clock is ticking, and the soon arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is one day closer to fulfillment. The website, where you can find all that I'm about to share with you and much, much more, is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. I want to thank you all for tuning in today at WTPR. This first article I'd like to share came out in April 21st, 2006. But it bears repeating because there's quite a few articles I want to put to audio anyway that are on the site and do need to be broadcast on a regular basis because of what they entail. The headline reads, "Dean Trying to Muzzle Churches, Group Says." This is by Monica Bansall from CNSnews.com. She's a staff writer back in April 21st. And the article goes on to say, this is just an excerpt of the article. You can, of course, get this from my Not-So-Daily News page, the actual link to it and all that. But the article goes on to say, the Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean's recent comments calling on groups in the religious community to decide whether they want to be tax-exempt or involved in politics drew the ire of a Catholic-based advocacy group on Friday. Dean's remarks were made during an interview with the Christian Service Monitor on Wednesday. Now, we stop here for a minute because this is something that was before. This is directly after. That's right. March 7th, 2006 is when George W. Bush put it in writing that if you are tax exempt, you are involved in politics then because you become a church. If you have a church with a 501c3 tax-free status, you are considered a government agency and thereby involved in politics. So, continuing. It says that Howard Dean's statement makes it clear that he wants to muzzle American churches and religious groups from professing what they believe on important issues facing our society, said Joseph Sella, president of Fidelis, a Catholic-based advocacy organization. And, of course, this is CNS News, and so this is one of the reasons they clamor to the Catholic end. But going on, it says, when it comes to debates over public policy and issues, Dean would be welcoming the voice of American churches, not attempting to silence them, said Sella. Instead, Dean has shown utter disregard for people of faith by threatening the historical and treasured role of religious groups and churches in American public life, Sella continued. But Dean, who did not speak publicly about the religious views until its presidential bid in 2004, has apparently used religion to his political advantage several times since then. During his campaign, Dean sold Dean for America signs touting they are perfect for church. Okay? Now, what shot off the page immediately as I read this was Dean's obvious threat to the American Christian. He stated to the religious community that it's time to decide whether they want to be tax-exempt or involved in politics. You know, Now, don't get me wrong. According to Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are supposed to keep religion and politics separate. We're never to join the two together as we see prophecy warned the beast would do and has done in the church and state conglomeration of the Roman Catholic Church as well as the 501c3 we see in this country. This is why the article reported that a Catholic-based advocacy group got angry after Dean threatened the religious community. The Catholic religion is the ultimate example of mixing religion and politics on planet Earth today. Still, that's not what jumped off the page for me. Do you know what Dean means when he says the religious community has to decide if they want to stay tax-exempt or speak on politics? It has to do with the infamous 501c3 tax-free status the U.S. government set up long ago so as to have that foothold on the churches. Truth is, the churches should never be involved in politics in the first place, but because of complacency, we see all Christians still voting for the guy with the least amount of evils. What they should do is not vote at all. You know, if all their choices are as they have to... I mean, think about it. If all their choices have been as they have been for the last 100 years or so, you know, if all Christians stopped voting, that would send a message, don't you think? A little better message than voting for the lesser of two evils. No need to get involved at all. Just walk away from it all. The 501c3 tax-free status was a trap. From day one, it's already written into the fabric of the law of this country that churches are tax exempt. You don't even need this thing. This tax exempt status thing that Dean's trying to pull apart, which he's never going to be able to do because the government wants it the way it is, is designed to entrap the preachers of filthy lucre. They are already tax exempt, unless you consider sales tax, greed. And think about this when it comes to greed. Sales tax is a percentage. Granted, it's sometimes 10-15% in some areas, but that's nothing. I mean, this is what they're selling their soul for. So the thing is, the churches are tax exempt, but if the pastor wants to go to Walmart to buy goodies or a car dealer to buy a car, or, you know, he can get away with paying the taxes if he has that wonderful tax ID number from the IRS or from the Catholic IRS, as I have on my website. I got a Catholic IRS page. The catch is in fine print. If at any time you do or say things they don't like, they can remove your tax-free status and then charge you back taxes, excise taxes, and penalties. For example, if you've been to church for 20 years, that could amount to millions. What's worse, if you're on the church board, your income is part of the ball of wax. If you're on that church board, your name's on the paper, you're in just as much trouble as the pastor. Dean, like all the other politicians, are simply showing their teeth when their agenda clashes with true Christian principles. So, to shut the Christians up, Bush started placing spies in the churches, as we've also reported on this radio broadcast, as well as on the newsletters at remnantofgod.org. Just go to the Truth Provided Newsletter Archives page. There's plenty of information there. But he started, you know, placing spies in the churches back in the second campaign to get, you know, to more effectively tag the troublers and remove their tax-free status so as to financially destroy them or clam them up on the pulpit. That's all it is. You know, since they got the 501c3, they've got a foothold on these people like you can't imagine, especially if they're a popular ministry. Or even if they're not so popular that they're, like, known on TV or anything like that, if they've been around 20, 30, 40 years, all they got to do is say, look, we'll remove your tax-free status. Oh, big deal. But then when they explain what that means, like, well, look, you've been around 30 years, Pastor. Okay? Multiply that. And that's not even counting the money for the church that, you know, came in for the church building or the property or anything else that he has. There's a lot of taxes on all that stuff that he didn't pay if he's got the 501c3. That puny little foothold of a few bucks saved on goodies has now become a major attack on all those greedy pastors. Truth is, if you're in this for the money, then the money is going to control you. You know, it's just always the same old. And by the way, want to see hypocrisy in action? Read the rest of that article when you get time. Go to my, Not So Daily News page and go to the the article that was posted on April 23rd of 2006, which is actually 2 days after this particular article came out. And there's a link. Just click it and read the whole thing. All right? And see, you will see how, like Clinton, with his flip-flopping on the abortion issue. And what I mean by that is when Clinton was running for governor of the great state of Arkansas, he was totally against abortion because the demographic of the political landscape at that time in that area was against abortion, being in the Bible Belt and whatnot. They're against it. So that was his ticket. He ran with it and he won. But then when he ran for president, not only was he for abortion because the majority of the nation, the demographic of the political landscape of the entire nation, was pro-abortion. Not only was he pro-abortion, but he's the one that pushed forward that partial birth abortion. I mean, it's bad enough they're killing the kids. Now they want to see the kids' faces when they do it. Dean used the Christian churches to push his agenda. And now that he has a non-Christian agenda, he flip-flops. Wherever the current is flowing, that's where they're going to go. Just like arcing electricity. They're going to go wherever it's, you know, the path of least resistance, where they can make the, you know, the biggest bang for the buck. The article stated, during his campaign, Dean sold Dean for America signs, touting that they are perfect for your church. When you get a chance with that article, take a look at those signs that are actually small hand fans. I got a picture of it on the particular article page. It's a little hand fan. And they're boldly printed campaign advertisements designed to bolster votes for yourself, and he uses them, and he says to use them inside your churches to fan yourself. You know how people used to bring in the fans because it's hot inside of a church and it's not... It's very expensive to air-condition churches, you know, especially the smaller ministries. So, they're in the church with his fan that says Howard Dean for America and then www.deanforamerica.com. Big as life. It's a blue fan. square, well, a rectangle, and like a popsicle, a glorified popsicle stick handle on it. And you're supposed to wave that to cool yourself. And inside your church, one minute he's for mixing church and state, the next minute he's not. In other words, whatever best, that's what it is with the politicians. This is a career with them, people. It's not about what the American people want. It's about what they believe the American people will pay them for. Okay? It has to do with the buck. It has to do wherever the majority leans. Okay, the next article. This one came out on April 6th. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This one came out on March 19th. I put it on the site on April 6th of 2006. This is from Paris, France, of course. The Associated Press writer Jean-Marie Goddard and Greg Somerville, or Somerville, put it out. Headline reads, French police subdue riots over jobs law. Okay? It goes on to say, again, this came out on March 19th, 2006. Police loosed water cannons and tear gas on rioting students, and activists rampaged through a McDonald's and attacked storefronts in the capital Saturday as demonstrations against a plan to relax job protections spread in a widening arc across France. The protests, which drew 500,000 people in some 160 cities across the country, were the biggest show yet of escalating anger that is testing the strength of the conservative government before elections next year. At the close of a march in Paris that drew a crowd of tens of thousands, 7 officers and 17 protesters were injured during 2 melees at the Place de la Nation in eastern Paris and the Sorbonne University. I don't know. Police said they arrested 156 people in the French capital. Protests on Saturday reached every corner of France. Think about that. Every corner of France. Most of them largely peaceful, with organizers citing 160 marches from the small provincial town of Roquefort in the southwest to the major city of Lyon in the southeast. The Paris protest march was the biggest, attracting some 80,000 people, according to the police. Organizers put the number at actually 300,000. Now, and again, there's a link on my site where you can read this entire article. The article about the riots and the reason for the protest is not what caught my eye. The reason I posted it is because how many actually participated in the protest? Why don't we see 500,000 people protesting the 160s in the USA? Well, it's actually a simple answer. In countries like France, companies like Kraft Foods would not be allowed to use additives in the people's food that harm them physically and mentally. I don't know if people are aware of that, but that is fact. The methods by which Kraft Foods manufactures food or processes food in the United States of America is outlawed in, I would say, like 95% of the other countries on the planet. Things like genetically modified organisms in the food, GMOs, and monosodium glutamates, MSGs, are highly illegal. Illegal, okay? This is why you don't have people in France and other countries planted in front of TVs 24/7 with brains so fogged up by the foods they eat. Their food causes laziness and complacency to run rampant through the nation, like we all call them, couch potatoes. And I like to think I coined the phrase pew potatoes, because the thing is, they won't even get off their pews to do something. What's worse, the American Medical Association, the AMA, is also allowed to use drugs on people that never actually cure them. If they did cure them, of course, they would lose a customer. Instead, they mask symptoms and turn them into lifelong customers. Thing is, the foods they eat, crafted by Kraft, causes them to see a doctor who in turn drugs them up worse for life. France and other countries know the dangers of such additives in foods and won't allow certain drugs to be used in medicine because they know how it affects the brain. Everything from lethargy, laziness, to short-term memory loss, foggy minds, inability to focus, and a host of other brain disorders are the wonderful benefits of the junk food and even wholesome foods industry in America. Now, this is especially true with teenagers and even some young adults. I see this a lot, where people talk like this when they're talking to you in a conversation. You walk up to them in the street and say, "Hey, how you doing today?" Well, everything's going pretty good. I think that I would like to talk to you about... In other words, they're using a lot. They're using it. They're stopping to think. They're stopping to think. They're stopping to think. Why? I don't have the actual article in front of me, but science has already investigated this phenomenon that's running rampant through the country about the problem. Turns out, sitting in front of a TV all day or playing video games all day, in other words, you're letting somebody pump information into the brain. You know, entertain you, let them live the life for you. You're watching Friends or you're watching MASH or whatever you're watching on TV. You're just letting them entertain you by their lifestyles. Okay? It's all a fantasy land in your brain. You're not living anything. You're watching someone else live. And so you get lazy in the brain. And you lose the ability to put forth thought. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, first time I started realizing they started putting music in grocery stores, in elevators. I mean, remember the elevator music was a big joke in the 60s and 70s. It's like Muzak. It was boring. It was all Get Out, you know. But it's specifically there. In stores, of course, they're designed today to get you to buy more of one product or another product, or they get you an uppity, you know, buying mood. But the main thing is they're mostly designed to where so that you're not alone with your thoughts. Okay, that's the main thing. You can't be alone with your thoughts. And this is what the devil wants everybody to do. Stop being alone with your thoughts. I mean, because the main thing is, this is where the Lord works mostly. Like when you go out for a midday prayer or something like that, go out in the woods, you get away from it all, or go wherever you can, and you're alone with your thoughts. But today, what do you see? People are jogging with headsets on, you know, listening to music as they're jogging, or driving down the road with the radio cranked up, or even walking through the woods to look at the birds flying in the trees, but they can't even hear them because they got their earphones on, or riding a bike with their earphones on. And then everywhere you go, there's constant information being pumped into the brain. So think about the reality of this fact, too. Polls have proven that over 80% of the American people know or at least feel the American government was involved in 9/11. 80%. Yet, do you see 500,000 people protesting in Washington, D.C. or any of the four corners of this nation? No. But you see a whole mess of people in France. Why does America do this? Well, one would have to think that's a no-brainer. Pun intended. All right, the next article. Let's see. Vatican changes heart over... Okay, yeah, this one came out in March 25th of 2006. I posted it 5 days later, March 30th, 2006. Headline, Vatican changes heart over Crusades again. Yeah, and this article came from worldnetdaily.com, popular online news source today, Christian news source, and it's very reputable. And when I say they got a Christian flavor. Okay, they're not Sabbath keepers, but they run with as much information as they know about Christianity, I guess, you know. But they're trying to keep as much truth in the writing as possible. That's why they're so popular among Christians. So, going on. Headline reads, despite a 2000 request for pardon, widely interpreted as an apology to Muslims for the Crusades by the late Pope John Paul II, the Vatican reopened the debate last week with a conference that characterized the wars fought centuries ago as a defensive measure taken with the noble aim of regaining the Holy Land for Christianity, according to the London Times. The conference held at the Regina Apostolorum Pontifical University brought together scholars from around the world who were anything but apologetic for the series of wars that were fought by European Christendom over 750 years ago. While agreeing the Crusaders were sometimes undisciplined and committed acts of cruelty, it was true of the Muslims and troops, even now, in all ideological wars. The worst excesses of the Crusaders, Riley Smith said, were generally reserved for the Orthodox and heretics. Those who seek forgiveness for the Crusades, he says, do not know their history. Westerners should not be embarrassed by the Crusades, Spencer concluded. It's time to say enough and teach our children to take pride in their own heritage. They should know that they have a culture and a history of which they can and should be grateful, and they are not the children and grandchildren of oppression and villains, and that their homes and families are worth defending against those who want to take them away and are willing to kill to do so. And, of course, you can read the entire article if you go to that not-so-daily news section on the website. This article is nothing more than a method by which to twist the historic facts concerning the Crusades of Rome upon the Muslim nations. History has already verified that the Vatican created the Islamic faith so as to create a race of people that would run rampant across the land, killing off Jews and real Christians. Once they conquered Jerusalem, the Vatican would step in and exact payment. For historic info related to this, by an actual ex-Jesuit, there is a link on my site that you can click to go. The link is huge. I'm not going to read it on the radio. But if you need it, just send me an email. The preacher that actually put together the article is very blessed in the area of sourcing out historic facts, but has a little bit... I have major disagreements with his doctrinal stand, so just be forewarned. Anyway, when the Muslims refused to give Jerusalem to Rome, Rome responded with the Crusades. That is historic fact. You know, what this article is preaching is nothing more than a pack of lies designed to gain acceptance for war against those that don't allow the Vatican its unbiblical claim to real estate in Jerusalem. This is no different than what they did regarding the history books here in the States. When I it used to be in schools, in public schools, the history books were designed, and this is ingenious, the way that the devil did this with the governments, with this, ripping children out of mothers' arms and, so they don't homeschool them the way the Lord planned it, and then put them in public schools so they can brainwash them, so by the time they're, and you don't even know you're being brainwashed. I mean, think about it. These history books are designed in the schools today to tell you fiction. That's all it is. For example, most recently, all the history books were changed that are in the public schools that state this nation was founded by people that left Britain because they were a little upset about the large taxation, which was around 1.5% to 2% of their income, right? And so they want us to believe that they took a chance going across the waters, the ocean, to get to the shores of the eastern seaboard of our country. They risked life and limb, all their loved ones and everything, for a lousy 1.5% to 2% tax on their income. They want us to believe that. That's what they would do. Yet in this nation, if you do the math and you add up what your income tax is right now and you add up what the sales tax is, around 60% to 64% of your income goes back to the government. I don't know if you're aware of that, but 60 to 65% is taxed. Now, irregardless of the income increase, the amount of money that you make, it doesn't make any difference. It's gonna remain constant. 1.5% of an annual income back then is going to be the same thing as 1.5% of an annual income today. Just because you make 10 times more money today doesn't mean it's going to be 10 times more difficult, because back then you made 10 times less money. So you can't play the card that says, well, it was only 1.5, today it's 40. No. And it's just like with, the fact of the matter is this. What's more believable, the truth or this fabricated pack of lies? I mean, think about it. The truth says they risked life and limb to go across the oceans in these big wooden ships to come to this nation because they got sick and tired of the Roman Catholic Church killing them, cutting their heads off, burning them alive in fire, burying them alive, drawn quartering them, skinning them alive. I think I would rather risk my life and limb in a boat crossing an ocean with my wife and children to get them to safety than a 1.5% to 2%. I don't care if it was a 75% tax rate. When you put into comparison, it's obvious where the truth is lying here. The stage has been set. They are proclaiming this noble aim that makes the Crusades appear dignified in that article that I read a minute ago, that only to gain the control of the Holy Land for themselves. They also make such noble claims to see the approval to kill in the hearts of many around the world. Perfect timing, I say, after so many others have been conditioned by the entertainment industry into thinking less and less about murder. I mean, on a daily basis, how many hundreds of murders are there on TV? On an hourly basis, because now with cable TV, you got so many channels. I mean, somebody did some research back then. They said something about a kid, by the time he reaches the age of 13 or 14, he sees over 100,000 murders or 10,000 murders. I can't remember what it was, but it was unbelievable. We didn't have video games back then, but today, think about it now. This is why the kids have no problems, busting a cap, as they say in the streets. Yeah, no big deal. I did it 20 times 5 minutes ago on my video game, or I watched it over 10,000 times just in the last 5 years on TV. It's like, no big deal, sir. When you look at the reaction of the people on TV when someone gets murdered, oh, well, okay, he was a jerk anyway. Hey, that's someone's life. That's someone's son. Or that's someone's daughter. That's someone's husband. That's someone's wife. That's a life that ended. No big deal. He was a jerk anyway. It's just so complacent now. It's designed that way. Whether it's a bluff to make the Muslim bow in this article or not makes no difference. The fact they spoke of such things in a positive manner is all that's needed in the global arena, especially today when the bulk of the human hearts are exactly as Christ said they would be in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Soon the Sabbath-keeping child of God will be considered worthy of death for the same noble reasons as they had in the past. Rome has all along stated to kill for their cause was a good thing. In fact, they have put it in writing many times. Here's just three such excerpts. The first one comes from a Catholic publication called The Western Watchman, December 24th, 1908. It says, "The Catholic Church has persecuted. When she thinks it is good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bond that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior." I mean, they could wrap it up in all the good behavior words or gentle words or loving words they want. The Bible says do violence to no man. But yet they say it's good behavior, so oh, now that it's okay. It's just mental manipulation is all it is. They make you think one thing so that there's a possibility they're right because they're theologians, or so they think. The next one's from Public Ecclesiastical, Volume 2, page 142. It says, "The church may, by divine right, confiscate the property of heretics, imprison their person, and condemn them to the flames. In our age, the right to inflict the severest penalties, even death, belongs to the church. There is no graver offense than heresy, therefore it must be rooted out." This is their divine right to inflict the severest penalties, even death. It belongs to the church. That's an exact 180. I mean, it's totally against the scriptures. Totally. And this last one is, I believe it's from the same book, Public Ecclesiastical, pages 59 and 60, it says. Or no, I'm sorry, this is from Catholic Words and Actions. It's from Raywood Fraser in his booklet, Catholic Words and Actions. He presents documentary proof of the intensive persecution of Protestants and non-Catholics in Colombia, South America, between 1949 and 1953, okay? Modern day. It says that the Catholic Church had the support of the Colombian government in the destruction of many churches and the liquidation of more than 1,000 documented cases, some of whom were shot, drowned, or emasculated. In 1953, emasculated. This butchery is going on in the modern day because it's the church's right to inflict the severest penalties, even death, they say. Going on, he says that there is evidence of over 60,000 killed. Pope Pius XII awarded the president of Colombia with one of the highest rewards which the church bestows and praised Colombia for its example of the Catholic faith. They're acknowledging to murder, mayhem, torture, kill is a good example of a Catholic faith. And I agree. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And we are most assuredly getting to the point in our lifetime I'm not going to be a date setter, of course. It just doesn't look good for them, but it looks wonderful for us. And the reason it looks wonderful for us is because, well, it's the great and dreadful day. It's great for us because we say, this is our Lord. We have waited for him. And they, of course, say, hide us. Let the mountains and the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb and he who sits on the throne. So it's wonderful for us, but dreadful for them. So please keep them in prayer because, yeah, they still have time. As do we all. Work on our salvation daily. Get as close to the Lord as you possibly can. He'll get closer to you, and you'll be blessed accordingly. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. If you happen to come in the middle or at the end of the broadcast, not to worry. It'll be rebroadcasted multiple times throughout the week, I hope. If you're unable to catch the program as it's aired, go to remnantofgod.org, click the Antique Radios on the main page, and go to the archives from there. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian he created you to be. Thank you for listening. And remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.